Good afternoon. Welcome to the presentation on, is it a note taker or is it a braille display? This is going to be real interesting because there's so many new products and products on the market that it's going to be interesting to find out what's different about them. Our first presenter that I know is here is Peter Tusek. I'm going to just let him take over, and then the other presenters, as they come in, they can just follow him.
My name is Peter Tusek, and I am the brand ambassador of Blindness Products for Humanwear. I am glad to be here. This is, I think, my fourth ACB conference in the last 5 years, so it is awesome to be up here. And I will be spending a few minutes talking about, right, what we have in terms of braille displays and note takers. And then I know Mr. Mikey is here, and I think there are others who are here too. I know people are rolling in. So we'll round table it up, we'll figure it out. I'll pass it over to Mikey momentarily. But I will talk a little bit about kind of what we have. Some of you, many of you, may have heard that we launched the Braille Note Touch Plus back in February. It is out and ready to rumble. We are fired up. It has been awesome and well received. I was talking kind of about what the Braille Note Taker offers people, and what it really gives us is the ability to read the world around us. We really, you know, as blind people, don't read enough print, and a lot of times we're not reading the same amount as someone who is sighted, who's glancing around a room and reading all sorts of things like t-shirts and signage and all that good stuff. We are only reading what we can find in Braille, right? And as a result, our spelling can be pretty poor. And I made the joke that I'm a terrible speller, and most blind people are, including Mike Tindall, because they just can't read. But anyway, the whole point of working with note takers is the ability to create, to consume, to research, and to read, and do all of that in a Braille-first way. So we're running Android Oreo, which is Android 8.1. We'll be moving forward to Android 9 and so on as we step through the year and into next year and so on and so forth. We have 64 gigs of memory on the device and 4 gigs of RAM. We're running a Snapdragon 820 processor. But again, the whole point being the note taker is not your only tool, right? We're using it in conjunction with other tools. I think everybody in this room has multiple tools for multiple jobs. We might use a note taker, we might use a braille display, we might use a computer, we might use an iPhone, we might use some other specialized product like a Victor Reader product or a Blaze product, right? We're using other products, not just that Braille note taker, but what the note taker gives us is a very, very much a Braille centric, Braille in, Braille out sort of experience on an all-in-one product. So with the Braille Note Touch Plus, we now use Google Chrome for browsing the web. We're going to take kind of that transferable skill set. So if we are looking at a web page and we want to move by headings, well, we can use H, or buttons for B, or graphics, we'll use G, just like we do when we use JAWS or VoiceOver on a Mac, right? We're going to be using a lot of those sort of concepts. We don't want to reinvent the wheel in terms of web browsing. We are also using Easy Reader from Dolphin. So we've worked with it to optimize that for a Braille user. Easy Reader Plus is going to be the Easy Reader app that some of you might use already on Android or iOS. Now it's optimized for a Braille user. So there are Braille shortcuts built in. We can search for text in a book. We can annotate bookmarks. We can really bring in kind of all of that content from NFB Newsline or Project Gutenberg or Bookshare or various libraries if you're Canadian, right? Maybe Sila, and bring that content in and really work with it in a streamlined way. So we're using one app to do all of that, and then we're bringing in, right? I mean, we're bringing in Apple Music or Spotify or dictionary apps or Sling TV or whatever it is we want to work with, and we're going to be able to use that web view navigation inside those third-party apps. So if I'm in NLS Bard and I want to jump to my first audiobook result, I know it's at heading level 4, I can just press .4. Those sorts of pieces are huge in terms of efficiency and just being, right, doing everything in a Braille-first way, but also being extremely efficient. So with the Touch Plus, we can also mirror the screen. It is very, very fast when we think about startup times. You know, for everyone who used the Braille Note Touch, your startup time is probably about a minute, minute 20, minute 50, minute 56. I don't know. It's down to about 20, 25 seconds. So that stability is vastly improved. And we're thrilled to kind of have that going for us in terms of what that will mean moving forward. When we look at table or spreadsheet or, you know, different types of navigation that require some more processing power when you're in those huge documents, right? We're going to be looking to do that going forward. And then just being able to bring some new things in. So I'll be showing tonight just some things about what if we're able to customize the main menu, selecting non-editable text. That sort of stuff is finally here. So I'll be showing that later. But really the note taker, the Braille Note Touch Plus is a full-fledged note taker. When it comes to our Braille displays, and this is where things often will really shift, the Braille displays that we offer, the Brailliant line of Braille displays has zero in terms of the Brailliant 40 and the Brailliant 80, there is zero internal memory capabilities on those devices. Not one ounce of internal memory, not even a thought. And mainly the reason for that is that when we sell and we work in government or education, it is something that is not wanted is in those testing environments. However, everyone in this room is like, that sucks, right? Because we all want internal memory. So it's definitely going to be something we'll look at as we move forward. With the Brailliant 14, we do have the Brailliant 14, which is a 14-cell Braille display that does have some limited note-taking capability. And when I say limited, I mean basic note-taking. However, there is an app called Brailliant Sync, S-Y-N-C. And Brailliant Sync is available on iOS and Android, and it will let us synchronize notes that we take on our Brailliant 14s into the Notes app on our iPhone. And where that's very cool is, and I clap if an iOS update has ever messed up your Braille, right? Exactly. Because it has for me for sure. And so one thing is, with this, it's iOS Braille translation that we're not relying on. So it has internal Braille translation. So sometimes you know that when you work with an iOS device and a Braille display, things can come unpaired, or sometimes your translation can get very laggy. One thing we've seen with the Brailliant 14 is we're using low energy Bluetooth, and as a result, that pairing it will stay connected for months and months on end. So if you're a deaf-blind user, or if you're somebody who really just needs that solid, stable connection, it will bring that forward. It's kind of using that same technology as the Apple Watch in terms of how it is remaining and staying connected. So that's been awesome. And then again, the ability to synchronize those notes. I can take a note on my device, and later I open the Notes app on my phone, and that note is there that I took in Braille on my Brailliant 14. Or I can always just use it as a Braille display and take the note directly in the Notes app if I wanted to. So it will connect to 5 Bluetooth devices and 1 USB device simultaneously. There will be an update coming. You'll be able to wake up your iPhones with it, kind of like you did on the old Vario. You'll be able to wake up your iOS device, and then you'll be able to change some other settings like cursor blinking and new lines, how they're rendered. As well as the ability to sync Exchange accounts with the Brailliant 14. So if you're using Microsoft 365 or you're using Outlook, it's not just limited to Gmail now. You can actually use Gmail to sync those notes or Exchange. So it's kind of big for people who are using Exchange accounts. With that, I am going to throw it over to my buddy Mikey and let him talk about things that he wants to talk about. But I, you know, when it comes to these differences, I mean, a lot of times we are seeing more crossover with a Braille display and a note taker. I think as we move forward, you will continue to see products that are starting, there will be a gray area where you have Braille displays that will gain more and more note taker-esque functionality, if you will. So I know Mike will be talking about some things that HIMSS has that does offer more of that kind of crossover. So please come by the booth if you want to see the Braille Note Touch Plus or the Brailliant 14. I will also be doing user groups tonight as well. So please stop by if you want to see some demos or ask me all sorts of questions. Please, please, please. I'm all about it. Mikey.
Could I ask one quick question?
You absolutely can.
Does the Plus connect to the iPhone?
Absolutely. So the question was, does the Braille Note Touch Plus connect to the iPhone as a Braille terminal? And it certainly does. So it will connect to iOS, to JAWS, to NVDA as a Braille display. Yes. Fire away, Mikey boy.
Hello, ACB. Hello. So like Peter said, everything he said, yeah, that's my presentation. So thank you so much. Glad you guys came, and I hope you have a great rest of your convention. No, not yet. Please stay and listen to me ramble for a second. So I do want to say that it's great, in all seriousness, to be here at ACB this year. I worked with HumanWare for 11 and a half years, and Peter and I, we hired Peter, and he and I instantly became friends, very good friends.
So he thought.
Yeah, I still think we are, but we still talk a lot. We're great friends. And I joined HIMS a year ago last April. Dave Wilkinson left, and I was asked to take the position, and the time was right, so I did that. But what I do want to talk about today is a little bit about the Polaris. We just released a brand new update on the Polaris Note Taker. How many, any Polaris users in the room?
I have one at school that I use with students.
Okay. And so the latest thing that we have done with the Polaris is we have integrated Google Drive directly on our flash disk. And in this latest update, you do have the ability to copy files directly to and from Google Drive. And for those of you who have Google accounts, and you may have Google Classroom, there's a folder created on your Google account that's called Classroom. And inside that Classroom folder are all your classes. So you're able to copy and paste files from those classes to your flash disk or an SD card or a thumb drive, or go the opposite direction from your flash drive, SD card, or thumb drive, copy and paste directly into the folder that you're needing to use on Google Classroom. In beta right now, and we just talked about this yesterday in our HIMS user group, in the next release that's coming, hopefully, I'm gonna say August, September, do not quote me because we do not have a release date yet.
Did you say September 3rd, Mike?
I did not. No, but for anyone who's looking for that date, I don't have it, but it will be coming. One of the big things that we are doing in that release is allowing you not only to copy and paste those files to and from Google Drive, but you can also edit those files directly from File Manager using Google Drive. Now, you can currently edit files using Google Drive, but you have to do it using the Google app. So, you know, you go to the Drive Android app on the Polaris, you can edit files there now, but it's going to be much easier to do it using the File Manager on the Polaris as we move forward. So, we are running Lollipop on the Polaris. We are running the processor on there is a quad-core processor. The RAM is 3 gigs of RAM. We have 64 gigs of memory as well. Built-in camera for doing OCR. So that is the Polaris and the newest things there. We also have a Polaris Mini, so we have the Polaris 32, and we also have the Polaris 20-cell model as well. Smaller footprint, keys are closer together. When you use Braille displays and you think about Braille displays, some of the things that we have at HIMS is we have the Beetle, the Smart Beetle. How many legs are on a Beetle? I hear six, I hear eight. Do I hear nine? Nine? Anybody say nine? Six legs on a Beetle, so you can connect six devices at one time simultaneously to the Smart Beetle. Very small device, does not have any note taker capability. So those people who want to write, you know, notepad documents and that kind of thing, you cannot do it on the Beetle. We also sell a device called the Braille Edge. The Braille Edge does have 40 Braille cells, and it also has the notepad, scheduler, clock, all those features for, as Peter said a while ago, very basic note taker functionality. Our newest Braille display is called the Q-Braille. Q-Braille. We released it last year at this convention. I was unable to be here. I was at the other convention last year, but I did hear lots about great user groups that you guys had at this convention last year. And I had great user groups last year at the other convention. And it was a great time to announce the Q-Braille. The Q-Braille is a device that is the first of its type. We have thought of, you know, how many people have a Braille display at home? Anybody use a Braille display with your computer? Somebody describe your desk. What's on that desk? The Braille display is sitting in front of you. And behind it is a QWERTY keyboard. I will tell you a story quickly, because Peter knows I like to tell stories. 20 years ago, I worked for a company called Vispero, now we call it. Back in the day, it was Freedom Scientific. Joined them, did a lot of their tech support. I got called in an office one day, and someone said, "Will you do escalation tech support?" And I said, "I guess I will." So I did for 5 years. And when I was sitting at my desk one day, I was typing on a keyboard, and I had a device. It was called, anybody remember, I'm going to date myself, anybody remember the PowerBraille 80?
Yes.
Uh-huh, see? So I had a PowerBraille 80 sitting in front of my desk, and I thought I was wonderful, had this Braille display, it was great. So I was sitting there, I read my text, and I thought, boy, this looks great in Braille, and I read it, and I went home that night, and I was typing an email on my computer, and I thought, let me read this. And I reached down to see the Braille, and there was no Braille. And it was at that moment that I thought, you know, reading Braille, having Braille at my disposal is such a commodity. And when I looked down that day and I did not see that Braille, it really made me realize just how much that we as blind people should be reading Braille as a daily part of our lives. And thank you. And when I from that day on, I decided that I was going to have a Braille display at my disposal, and I've done that. And so when we think about the Q-Braille, though, we've taken the concept of QWERTY. So on the bottom row, you've got Control, Function, Windows, Alt, Space, Alt, Applications, Key, Control, and your arrow keys. Did I do good?
Yep.
Is that okay? So you guys see the bottom row there. Then above that row, you have Shift, Caps Lock, Tab. Above that is Escape and all your function keys. On the right-hand side, we have Insert, Delete, Page Up, Page Down, Home, and End. Below that are your arrow keys. That's all your modifier keys on a computer keyboard. Then we've taken away all the letters and numbers, and we've given you, in the place of that, a Perkins-style Braille keyboard. So if I want to close a document using the Q-Braille, how would I do it?
Alt F4.
What if I want to save a document?
Control S.
Control and Braille the letter S. What if I want to hit my applications key?
Applications key
or shit. Shift F10. What if I want to find out what time it is and I'm using JAWS? And so see, all of you guys in this room right now, if you buy a Q-Braille, you already know how to use it. And see, that's the beauty of this Braille display, because we've literally taken away all of the complexity of, I want to press Alt. So let's see, it's like, let's see, Alt would be .2 plus space plus Enter, and then I want to add F4, so it's like .8 plus a drop D plus space or whatever those key commands are that I've already forgotten. So very much intuitive to use those Braille displays. So if you want to see the Q-Braille, certainly come by, check it out. Our booth number is 30. Last thing I want to mention to you is we did release a Q-Braille update on June 4th of this year. We actually label them by date, so I remember that. It's June 4th of 2019. We have a, hello. We also have a translation software in the QBraille where it automatically does translation for you built into the display. And so we're using there are actually two connections going on. One of them is the Bluetooth Braille connection. The other is a Bluetooth keyboard connection. And so literally I can go into Microsoft Word without using JAWS and type in contracted Braille and it will show up in Microsoft Word even though I'm not using JAWS because the QBraille and the Braille keyboard is doing the translation for you. When I turn on JAWS, that's when I get Braille output in contracted or uncontracted Braille, whatever I wish. As I mentioned, 6 dedicated Bluetooth connections, as well as a USB-C connection. And then you also have the same 6 connections for your Bluetooth keyboard. We also have an option dedicated in there for Mac as well as PC. So if you go in and change your keyboard, what would normally be your function key and your Windows key is now going to be control option, and your alt key is going to be command. Does that make sense? Okay. You can change that in the options menu. As I mentioned, it also has your notepad, all your different file types. Also has a DAISY reader built in, so you can read DAISY books. Going back to Polaris for 1 second, one thing that I like about the Polaris is that if you're reading a Excel file or a PDF, all those types of documents, we can open them directly from our file manager. And when we do that, we kind of load the program that you're needing and just instantly open that file and begin to read it. So that's Polaris, and it's the keyboard's very quiet, very lightweight device. Certainly come by our booth, take a look. Last thing I want to mention is all the products I've just talked to you about is made by a company called Selvus in Korea. We sell them in the U.S. under the company called HIMS. We're located in Austin, Texas. Not only do we sell those devices, but we also took on early last year the HandyTech line of Braille displays. So here we have the Actalino, and we also, which is a 16-cell Braille display. We also have the 40-cell Active Braille. Those devices are very ergonomic. So all the Braille displays that both Peter and I have talked about today, when you read Braille, you flatten your fingers and you read those Braille displays. The Actalino, the Active Braille, both of those Braille displays, you're able to read those displays with your fingers in their natural, relaxed, kind of curved position. And the displays themselves are very ergonomic. The space bars are down below the Braille display. The keys are raised up high above, and so your fingers are very relaxed as you type. The nice thing about both Braille displays, I call it when Braille reads you, is a term that I use. We have they have a patent, and it's called ATC, which stands for Active Tactile Control. What that means is that there are sensors under every pin of every cell in both of these Braille displays. And when we all read Braille, we don't necessarily even realize that we do it, but we kind of move our reading finger a little bit up and down kind of as we read Braille. We don't know that we do it, and teachers tell us don't scrub, and it's not really scrubbing, but it's kind of like miniature micro scrubbing, if you will. It's kind of micro scrubbing. And your Actalino or your Active Braille detects that you're micro scrubbing with one finger. And so when that finger reaches the end of Braille, it then pans to the next Braille line automatically. So you never have to scroll down. Now you can turn that feature off if you don't like it. You can also scroll backwards as often as you need if you need to reread something. But it's really cool just to be able to read a book and not have to scroll as we typically know Braille displays. Both devices do have internal features. They both enable you to play Braille music. Write Braille music in the device, play tunes, I wrote like Row, Row, Row Your Boat and Mary Had a Little Lamb and all those little songs because I could do that. That's about as far as my Braille music goes. But that's that. And then it also has some games. So like the bigger display has a Braille hunt game where you find a different pattern in Braille dots. And then it has Hangman. I enjoy playing that game a lot. All the devices I've talked about today does pair with all of your iOS and Android devices, PCs, Macs, all those devices. Like for all of you to come by booth 30 and visit with us at HIMSS. We'd love to see you. We are running some good specials this week at the booth, so feel free to come by. Thank you so much for having me in this affiliate presentation, and I hope that all of you have a great rest of your convention. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for coming, Mike. Good job.
Thank you. Oh, sorry. I can't be outdone by Peter. Any questions from anyone? I'm happy to take questions. Sorry. Yes, sir. No.
That sounds like a HIMSS answer.
Your answer may be no.
Yes. All right, Android.
The version of Android that you're using on your device.
Yes, sir.
Version 5, right?
It is Lollipop, which would be version 5.
Right.
I am surprised that this question did not come up in my user group yesterday, and it did not, and it came up in this meeting today, and I will talk about it. Sir, can I have 3 minutes? Am I good? 3 minutes? 4 minutes? I just moved back to Florida. We talk slow in the South. It takes me 10 minutes to say hello, but I've tried to get better since I met Peter, see, because he talks so fast, you see. Yes, sir. Sir. So, talking about your question, and I'm going to be very candid with all of you, and Peter and I are friends, and I think that he would agree with me. Before Humanware upgraded to the latest version of their device, we had a faster processor than they did. We had ability because we were running a later version of Android. They were on KitKat, we were on Lollipop. So we were able to do things like mirroring screens and using Zoom and doing things that Humanware could not do at that point. So when they upgraded their board to give them 5 gigahertz networks and doing all those things that they can do, we were doing it before them. So when they upgraded when they changed their board, they made a very good decision and they said, let's go ahead and change to Oreo, which is what they did. Our board at that point was a different board than what they were using. And so therefore, we already had the ability to connect to 5 gigahertz networks and we could mirror, we could do Chromecasting and we could run Zoom. All those things could already happen on the BrailleSense Polaris. One of the things that we kind of concentrate on at HIMSS is allowing you the ability to download third-party products and do the things that you want to do. But if we can develop something internally to make it easy for you, an example being Google Drive, copying and pasting directly from File Manager may be a little easier than navigating Google Classroom. Not that it can't be done. There are people who also will say, I want my students navigating Google Classroom because that's how the sighted world does it, and I want to do it the same way they do. There are other people like myself who says, I don't care how I get my file, I just want it. I want the text, I want the most efficient way I can get it, and boom, there I go. So to answer your question, we are not concentrating at the moment on upgrading to a later operating system. If we need to do it and we see that it needs to happen, it is not something that we will ignore. Even though we do not run Oreo, both Humanware and HIMSS and all the companies out there, because we're all Google certified devices, we still have the ability to get patches, like security patches and things that we need to pull from to keep devices secure. So even though we're running Lollipop, you know, we still have access to certain aspects of Google code to make things operate the way they need to operate. That's kind of where we are as far as we're not upgrading to Oreo because we don't really see a major need at this moment to do it. But if we do see a need, it certainly will be something that we will look at. Was that a fair answer?
Yep. There's a question that I have, though.
And I'm going to try to answer it.
It's a question that I'm not sure if anybody's interested in.
You just ask it, sir.
Is that Oreo double stuff?
You know, I went to the HumanWare booth at CSUN. And I have a good friend. She's at this convention. Stop by HumanWare and say hello to Kate. And I walked over to that booth, and Kate handed me a individually wrapped, double-stuffed Oreo cookie, and I stuffed that whole thing in my mouth right there in front of her and said hello. Yes, I did.
Why, you know, it seems like everything in the blindness world does not pay attention to, this is kind of for everybody.
Peter, come back up here with me. We'll do this together.
Yeah,
one more. Why in the world?
Where in the world is Carmen?
No. Why?
Why in the world?
Why is the AT industry any real the you know orientation mobility everybody? It seems like ergonomics. You know, we get left behind in ergonomics a lot. And what really interested me was the fact that those HandyTech displays. You know, I've typed on them. And they're some of the more comfortable ones. The other ones I can't use because they're just, they hurt. So why is, you know, same with a cane. Why is the blindness industry not, you know, paying attention? I guarantee a lot of, there's probably a higher RSI injury rate in the blindness community than the non-disabled.
I will say to you, sir, actually research has been done using HandyTech Braille displays. There have been people who have actually been able to go back to work when they have had carpal tunnel syndrome, and a HandyTech Braille display was purchased for them, and it did enable them to continue doing the work that they have been doing using those Braille displays. Research has also been done to show that because the Braille displays are curved and they're ergonomic and they have the active tactile control, you can actually read faster to some degree, some people can, using those Braille displays. And I will say also that, you know, using ergonomic Braille displays is something that I think all of us should be paying attention to. And Peter wants the mic.
Oh no, what Mike said is right, and I know they've done a ton in terms of looking into how those HandyTech displays are built. I think the question though, kind of asking why HIMSS or HumanWare as an industry, we don't look at that ergonomic stuff. The simplest answer is when we create products, a lot of times, whether it's HumanWare or HIMSS or anybody, Optilec, I don't care who it is, we have to be able to produce a certain amount of products, and we have to make it scalable. We can't, you know, we can find what works best for, let's say, 20 different kind of subsets of people, right? But when we create a product, it's got to work for really a 4-year-old and a 90-year-old in a lot of cases, because we're not mass producing products like an iPhone or an Android device, or even if we can get those products, a lot of the time, if we could make our products smaller and sleeker, or we could design something, let's say we can get the best camera or the most, you know, ergonomic keyboard or something, right? A lot of times when we get that design, we can't purchase it in such a scale that to make the products worth it, if that makes sense. So when we develop product, a lot of time we do it in kind of a uniform way. That's why you'll see a Braille display look the same over a number of years or maybe generations, right? And things change slowly. And I think when it comes to canes and other pieces, it just has to do with if you start varying the product, what's going to work best for one person is not always going to work best for the other. And I think because we won't sell, maybe we'd sell hundreds of one device for that specific user, not thousands or millions. That's why you don't see this variation. And it's not that the research isn't being done. It's absolutely being done. It's just that it's very hard to put it into play in this sort of industry. It's not just blindness. It's any disability. If you look at AAC devices, if you look at wheelchairs or lifts to go on airplanes and aisle lifts and things, they're very standard. And people are all different sizes, right? And they try to make different variations to those things, but we can only deviate so much. So it's a great question, but it's not that it's not being done. I think it's just that it's very hard to really, really tailor some of those products.
And while we're talking about that, I also want to say that the HandyTech devices, they are the most expensive Braille display in our industry, quite frankly. And the reason why they are is because of those designs.
Because they're German, yeah.
Yeah, the 3-year warranty. But those things, as Peter just said, you go to an iPhone. iPhones come out every single year. Now they're over $1,000. They can be, right? But I budget that in my life because I know that in September I'm going to buy the newest iPhone. And I do. I'm the first person in line at the store every single year to buy my phone. That is true.
Mike Tindall once flew to LA just to buy an iPhone. I just want to make that point. But anyway,
that was an Apple Watch. But yes. I don't. Well, not anymore. I used to back in the day. And the sad thing is that when I got my first 3GS iPhone, which is the first one that came out, I actually returned it like a week after I bought it. And then all my blind friends was talking about voice. I'm like, voiceover? I don't care about voiceover. Like, whatever. So then I bought one, and then there we go from then on. But the thing is he said it's about masses. And one of the reasons why HandyTech, those devices are for a number of folks, but they're not for everybody out there. So, when we as HIMSS, we make devices, HumanWare makes devices, and we try to keep them on a more affordable level so that more of you can reach those Braille displays. And that's why we have Smart Beetles and Brilliant 14s.
Is this Sparrow here?
Do we know?
Yes.
Lollipop.
Grape.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So when HIMSS decides that it's time to upgrade,
mm-hmm.
are they going to be able to upgrade with the hardware that they already have, or are we going to get stuck in the middle of your board is no longer going to be?
Okay, Peter's walking away. Just so
I said, you know the answer.
So all of you know, Peter, he is walking. Peter's walking away from the mic. This is a visual. I'm giving you all a visual interpretation. Audio described from a blind man. How you like that? Is that good? All right. Thank you. That was the audio described version of what just happened up here. You all did not see me reach back and pull his hair either. You didn't see that, but it did happen, and he elbowed me a couple times too. So, but to answer your question, there probably would need to be a board change if that happened. But I'm going to be very candid and tell you, do not expect that we are going to upgrade to Oreo, because we are probably going to do the same thing at some point that HumanWare did, and we're going to say, not tomorrow, not, someday in the future there will be a new note taker of some sort that probably will bypass Oreo, and that time we'll be at like Koala or whatever. Maybe we're going to start using animals. I don't know. What's a Q fruit? Kiwi? I don't know. It wouldn't be kiwi.
I can't think of a Q.
I can't think of a Q. No. Anybody?
What?
A what?
That's not a dessert.
That's not dessert.
That doesn't sound good to me.
That's like an avocado, which I do not eat. Other questions in the room.
I just wanted to make a comment about the smart wheel.
Yes, ma'am.
You spoke about it very briefly.
I did.
I have one, and it connects, although it's not a note taker, it does connect beautifully with your phone.
Yes.
So you can read Kindle books on it, you can text with it, you can do email with it. It's a great little device.
And I'm very happy to report that Kindle bug has been fixed.
Yeah.
Good. I have one too.
Are there any other note-taker vendors in the room? Anybody from Braille Press or Orbit or Braille Me or?
Orbit is here.
All right. Orbit, you want to come up and talk about Orbit?
Sure. Well, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi. My name is Venkatesh Chari. I'm from Orbit Research. And the Orbit Reader 20 is, guess how many cells?
20.
So I think probably a lot of you have heard about what it is and what it does. I'll be brief in the description of the device, and I'll talk a little bit about some of the new features we have just announced. So it's a 20-cell 8-dot display. We would probably categorize it as a simple note taker. It does have built-in note-taking capabilities, very basic, so think about it as a notepad. It's got a Perkins-style keypad, 6 keys plus dots 7 and 8 as well. The notes can be stored on SD card. The SD card is removable. It's a standard size SD card, so the fiddling with micro SD is avoided. The notes can be transferred over USB to your computer. When you plug it into a computer, it appears as a memory and a flash memory device, known technically as mass storage mode. It connects to pretty much all of the popular screen reading software, JAWS, NVDA, Supernova from Dolphin, System Access, VoiceOver, Braille Mac. Works very, very well with VoiceView, as well as Chromebox. It has got a USB port, so you can connect to a computer over either USB or Bluetooth. It supports multiple simultaneous connections. It also has the ability, which we just introduced very recently, to upgrade directly from SD card. So you don't actually need a computer to do it anymore. A lot of devices, in fact, the vast majority of devices in the Braille display category typically need a Windows computer to upgrade the firmware. With our latest release of software, the device is capable of upgrading directly from an SD card. So you just copy the file over. You could even copy it on a computer and bring the SD card over, plug it in, press a couple keys, and it updates. Let's see, in terms of features, other than the ability to take notes, it's very simple. It's essentially got three modes. One is a reader. So, you know, from the name, you might imagine that it was originally conceived as a reader. And some of you may be aware of the genesis of the product. It came about as an outcome of the efforts of a consortium of organizations known as the Transforming Braille Group, which included organizations such as NFB, APH, Perkins from the US, RNIB, CNIB, and a bunch of others who came together to pool some funds and resources together to basically fund the development of a low-cost Braille display for use worldwide, but primarily targeting developing countries. So they surveyed about 60 plus companies who are working on such technologies and products, and finally awarded the contract to develop it to Orbit Research. One of the reasons why it is a lot less expensive than most other products is because it uses very different new patented technology that we have developed at Orbit, known as the TACtuator. And this is unique in many respects compared to the traditional piezo technology. It produces braille dots that are completely rigid, so they do not flex, they do not give under finger pressure, they do not consume any power once they have moved up or down, so you can actually switch the device off and the message still stays on your screen. So it's very, very low power, and people are typically able to use the device for a week or two without having to charge. The quality of the braille is very different, and our experience has shown that, especially for beginners and folks who have reduced sensitivity in their fingers, it's much easier to read. And we have heard lots of stories from folks who typically would not read Braille much, started reading Braille because it was easier to read on the Orbit Reader. Some of you folks might have heard about initial challenges we faced and some questions about availability, so I want to try to clarify that. So as with any new technology, this being absolutely brand new technology, we had initial challenges. 2 years back when we first launched the product, there were issues related to one of the parts, which were unfortunately a part that was supposed to contain a lubricant ended up arriving with something quite different, which caused pins to jam. That was a rather major setback. However, we recalled all of the affected units, replaced them with new parts, and those problems are now behind us. The product is in full production. We have now sold several thousand units over the last 2 years. It's very stable, reliability is extremely high, and we have a product in stock. The retail price is $599. It can be purchased from the Orbit Research website, as well as various distributors. And the product is currently being sold worldwide. We continue to make improvements and feature enhancements. The software is in active development. We continue to develop the next generation of products as well. And I would invite anyone after this meeting, if you haven't had a look at a Braille at an Orbit Reader, I do have one. I'd be happy to show it to you. Any questions? We are not selling it here at the convention. However, if you would like to place an order, please talk to me, and I can guide you through how to do it. But it is always orderable from our website or through phone.
You said the ergonomics of the is the newest unit that you have. Does it look different than the original?
It looks exactly the same. No, so we haven't really changed any aspects of the design. The improvements that we made were related to to an issue that we had on the actuator.
Okay.
Yeah.
You said there were three modes, and you started to say the first mode was reader.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Thank you for bringing me back on track. So the first mode is a reader, which where any books could be in BRL, BRF, or text format that are stored on the SD card can be read. You can get these books through Bard or download them from the internet, from whatever source they may be. And there are a variety of features for formatting, to make it easier to read on a 20-cell display. The second mode is a note-taking mode where a student in a classroom or in a meeting or just in general to take notes using the Perkins-style keypad, you can take notes. Again, there are several modes, several features to help the note-taking options. And these notes are automatically saved onto the SD card. In fact, you don't even need to save them. They are automatically saved, so you never really lose them. And the third mode is as a braille display, so connected to another device like a smartphone or a computer, you can use it as a braille display, both for input using the braille keypad as well as for output on the 20 cell braille display.
I actually have a question regarding like the refresh rate.
Sure. So it refreshes in approximately half a second. And this question actually comes up quite often because it was somehow highlighted in the early days that it doesn't refresh instantaneously as most of the traditional piezo devices do. So it does refresh from left to right, and that takes about half a second. In our experience, we haven't yet come across anybody who found the rate to be too slow. It may sound long, but it is actually pretty fast. Again, I invite you to experience it firsthand. There is nothing fundamentally limiting in the technology that slows the refresh rate. This particular device, and we consider it an entry-level device, this was conceived and intended to primarily achieve the price target. It needed to be a really low-cost device, and as a result, there were several trade-offs made, one of them being the refresh rate.
And that makes sense.
And it does not have cursor routing buttons.
Yes, that was another trade-off that was made. It does not have cursor routing buttons. In our experience with users, the feedback that we get is that for a 20-cell display, we do have a full cursor keypad with four arrow buttons as well as pan keys, dedicated pan keys. And moving the cursor with the arrow buttons, and we have different modes in which you can do it. You can move by character, by word, etc. The navigating the cursor has proved to be fairly straightforward, and most people who use it, even though they might have been apprehensive about not having cursor routing buttons, say that they don't really miss them. But yes, it does not have cursor routing buttons. We do not this year, no.
Is there any way for
me to
look at?
If you see me just after this meeting, I'll be happy to show one to you. Sure.
May I just say, I have an order
to So do I.
Absolutely love it.
And I do too.
Thank you.
I did not learn Braille until I was in my 50s, so I'm slow. In 15 years, I've read one hard copy Braille book.
Uh-huh.
Now that I have an Orbit, my fingers are on it all the time.
Thank you. Yes.
So I can read the Braille with my right hand while I'm going with my knitting. Because I wanted something small enough that I didn't have to read a whole line for knitting purposes. You do like maybe five or six different types of stitches and then you go on. And it works wonderful for me.
Thank you.
Can you give us your website and phone number?
Yes, the website is orbitresearch.com, so O-R-B-I-T, research, R-E-S-E-A-R-C-H.com. And the toll-free phone number is 888-606-7248. Again, 888-606-7248. And I'd just like to add that there's because of the sort of global nature of the market that it was originally designed for, it's actually been designed to be extremely rugged. It's very, very sturdy. People have, and we have heard anecdotes, even though we ourselves do, of course, a lot of things like drop testing, you know, dropping it onto hard concrete from shoulder height. There are, you know, we have heard stories of where people, you know, who were carrying it in their hand tripped and it flew out of their hands, landed on hard concrete, and worked perfectly fine. So, I guess in conclusion, it is intended to be a very simple device. In fact, that's one of the things that a lot of people really like about it, the fact that it is very simple to use, simple to learn. For most purposes, it works just fine. And the philosophy behind it is that if you want to do more complex things, such as email or web browsing or editing a Word document, you would use it in conjunction with a computer or a phone. So, question at the back.
Yes. I was wondering, in the event that a person, since it is a simpler device, if there is a need for Braille cell repair, is that a lot less difficult to perform on a simpler device than it is on some of the other piezoelectric cell charge?
I would say the replacement, I mean, the process of replacing a single cell is probably about the same. I mean, the piezoelectric devices today are made in a pretty modular fashion. In both cases, they do require the unit to be brought into the service center or factory. It does have to be opened, and then the individual cell that is affected has to be replaced. So it's not necessarily very different in that regard. Now, because the Braille technology is less expensive, it is cheaper to repair it. And there is one other aspect, which is the traditional piezo technology is very sensitive to fluids, and water entering into the Braille cells can often sort of cause multiple cells to fail. In our case, it's not really sensitive to water. Yes, you can spill Coke or coffee or something sugary and sticky in it and jam it. As with any other mechanical thing, it can be done, but then it's relatively easy to either replace the cell or clean it. There's a question.
I have a comment as a user, and it's a positive comment. I'm a one-handed Braille reader.
So am I.
If I look at an F with my left hand, I think D. So I must be dyslexic. this machine, this or the Urban has panning buttons on each side that are identical, and they can go up or down. So I don't have to figure out how to reverse. If I want to use my left hand to pan to the right, it'll work. Yeah. And that is my favorite feature.
Yes.
Because I'm kind of in the market for a Braille display just to carry around, but I don't really want anything. I'm not interested in necessarily reading email or getting onto the internet. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that the device is equipped for that. Will it work without it?
Absolutely. It is intended to work standalone for the most part. Or connected. So if you don't want to connect it to anything, you can simply load books on the memory card. It's the same kind of memory card that's used in cameras and other devices. And whatever files you store on it, or if you are taking notes and storing it on the memory card, those can be accessed anytime without any connectivity. In fact, you can completely shut Bluetooth off. It'll save a little bit of power, and you never have to connect it to anything. Oh, that's all right. No, it does not have a calendar or a clock. Again, the objective was to keep it as simple as possible. Any other questions?
Does it, if I needed to do the Bluetooth with an iPhone for some reason, could it
with an iPhone? Yes, absolutely. It can connect over Bluetooth to pretty much any device, any smartphone, Android smartphone or an iOS device, and to either a Mac or a Windows computer or Linux computer, a Fire tablet.
Does it back translate? In other words, if I have a text file on my computer and I put it on the Braille, what, on that orbit, do I have to back translate it, or to get it to read in Braille, or the smart card that's in there, do I have to point to get it to go through the text, or do I have to put it on the computer?
Right, so that's a great question. So the device is intended to be really, really simple. So you essentially get what, you see what you get. So if you have a text file on your computer and you copy it onto the memory card, you can read text files directly. There's no need to translate. If you have BRL or BRF files, you can read those also directly. If you have contracted Braille in the file, it'll read it as contracted Braille. If you have a Word document, for instance, and you want to send it to the device, you would use a program on your computer to translate it to Braille, and there's a number of free software available to do that. So for those of you who would like to see a device, I'll be in the back, or I can bring it up here. I don't want to take up more time. I don't know how we're doing on time. Yes.
Well, this is concludes the presentation on the Is It a Braille Display or Is It a Note Taker? And there's apparently still a lot of choices in different modes and such. So with that, we'll close this session and be back for the banquet. Those are going to be attending, going to have a great time. So.